The word confession is part of our Catholic language. Yesterday, before I came over to confession, I walked through the kitchen, and some of the volunteers were there, people that weren't Catholic, and they said, "Where are you going?" And I said, "To go hear confessions." And one of them said, "Well, what is that?" And I said, "We as Catholics believe that you can tell the priest your sins. You confess to a priest, and he has the power to forgive you." And this guy said, "You mean when you see on television these people go in that little room and talk to the priest?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Is that really what you do?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I thought that was simply made up for television." Which gives you an idea that although we think we know ourselves pretty well and what our traditions are and what our beliefs are, it's not so clear, I think, to a lot of people who live around us. But that word confession, which I would think almost all the time when we hear it, is connected to the sense of telling our sins, has a more important meaning than that, and we find it in the second reading, but all the readings today, in a sense, are about this idea of confession. St. Paul says, "What does Scripture say? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved." Paul is not talking about the confession of sins, but he is saying, if you believe at your core and you express to the world what your core is all about, that is a witness. It is a confession. We hear about the confessions of St. Augustine, and probably most of us know that he was not the most straight arrow kind of guy in his youth. But the confessions of St. Augustine are not an admission of his sins, but rather it is the statement of his belief that God is who God is, and I stand in relationship to that reality, convinced of this truth, and form my life according to it. In the first reading, Moses talks to the people. They bring forward a gift, the first fruits. And then, at the same time they bring this gift forward, they tell the story of what God has done. It is a ritual. It's not a private ritual. It is a communal action, both the action of bringing the gifts forward and the action of listening as a community to what God has done. And in this story, because we know that Exodus was not written by Moses, but was written closer to the time of the Babylonian captivity, which was 600 or 700 years before Christ, the wonders that God has wrought are not only that he brought us out of a foreign territory and gave us land, but God saves us. "I have brought you the first fruits. I have brought you the first fruits of the products of the soil with which, O Lord, you have given me. And having set them before the Lord your God, you shall bow down in his presence." We must be constantly catechized so that we are not simply Catholics, but that we are formed and defined Catholics. We understand what the church teaches, and we believe what the church teaches. So Paul uses this word very specifically. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So if you are defined by this, it's not just a list of things you subscribe to, but you are really, truly defined by them, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and is so justified, and one confesses with his mouth or with her mouth and is also so saved. And Christ himself makes confessions of faith. You are not to tempt the living God. I know who I am. And by your challenging me, you think you're the Son of God, do this. You say you are the Son of God, do something spectacular. And Jesus, from his core, he's not simply chiding the devil, but from his core, he confesses, you are not to tempt the Lord, the living God. Earlier at the last Mass, we, the parish of St. Malachy, not the 9 o'clock Mass, we sent our catechumen to the bishop so that he might affirm his commitment to continue to grow in Christ and to be baptized in the Easter Vigil. We ritualize what we believe, but what is truly unusual about the way we understand ritual is that we believe, and I think this has to be true of any church that has ritual. The ritual somehow or another, and for Catholics who are defined by the idea of our sacramentality, we believe that the ritual carries with it the very power of God and enables us then to participate in God's own life because God moves towards us. Abraham came to know God because God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham said yes. All of the amazing stories of the scripture are stories of God's initiative. We don't hold up characters who have found God and therefore are kind of special, but we hold up characters. And one of the titles we give to the saints, particularly those who are not martyrs, we call them confessors. The word came up as we were doing the litany of the saints. God calls, and we say yes. God has called this young man towards him to enter into the church to share God's own life. But he's not on a private excursion. And even though it didn't happen at this Mass, and even though we did not come together and say, we are sending you at the 9 o'clock Mass, when we said we are sending you, we were speaking for the 4:30 Mass, the 9 o'clock Mass, the 11:30 Mass. We the church. Sometimes the idea of the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults, gets very confusing. A catechumen is an adult person defining adult relatively loosely, is an adult person who has never been baptized and who is just now coming to know Christ. Along, if we had any, there was nobody today, along with the catechumens on this first Sunday of Lent, we also send the candidates. Candidates are people, adults, who have been baptized either in the Catholic Church and were never catechized, or people who have been baptized with water in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in other Christian churches, but are not sacramentally initiated into full union with what we believe as Catholics to be the church that does contain the fullness of the truth. It's not always evident. And we can look at the horror of the sexual abuse. We can also look at the horror of the history of much of the church down through the years. We can look at the scandal of people here, people that many of us know, I suppose, the scandal of people saying, we're not going to walk with the bishop and the visible, we are going to start our own community, because who knows what the answer to the because is. But that is scandalous. It is a confession of some kind of a faith that is not the faith that we are to be conformed to. So on this day, we hear these readings, and in each of the readings, there is a confession. My father was a wandering Aramean. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Those understandings are insights that must conform us, but that's not full catechesis. And catechesis, in all honesty, never comes to an end. Lent is always a time of preparation, really, for the catechumens to be received into the church. But along with celebrating the Easter Eucharist in the vigil or on Easter morning, we profess our baptismal vows. We confess that we believe that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, and that must define us. The church is first, foremost, primarily, and essentially not about the service to the poor, not about the comfort I find in a community of faith, but it is first and foremost a community that is to praise the living God and understand what God has done. The corollary of that, what flows out of that, is a sense of community. We are joined in Christ. We are bound by the body and the blood of Christ, not as a parish, but as the universal church. We are a sign of that universal church, but we aren't the universal church. And the other corollary of that, that God is God, and before all else we must worship him, is that we must be aware of our brothers and sisters who are made in the image and likeness of God, who are in need of redemption just as you and I are, and oftentimes have grave needs that we, because we believe who God is, that we then must serve their needs. And so it is of a piece. What we believe, how we ritualize it, how we embrace brothers and sisters who want to join us, how we embrace them through ritual, how we underwrite them with our prayers, is all part of a peace. And as we begin a new Lent, we need to reflect upon all of the pieces and try to hold them together.